Okay, so my name is Jose Gro. I'm a postdoc at the Max Planck Institute for Radio Astronomy in Bonn, and my poster is about Eta Carinae, which is embedded in this beautiful homunculus nebula that you see here. The binary system is unresolved at the center. And our goal with this research is to understand how these most massive stars evolve and what's the impact of the companion, especially on the observables. Okay, so what happens when you have two massive stars very close together? You have two winds interacting, and what you see here is the density distribution in the orbital plane and in the plane perpendicular to the orbital plane. And what you see here is the primary star. We don't know exactly the mass, but it's something around 100 solar masses. You have the companion star here. It's slightly less massive. And the wind of the primary dominates, so you have this cavity here in blue. And in addition to this cavity, you also have shocked walls here, winds colliding. And our idea is to model this kind of phenomena. So what do? We have a 2D model, which is based in the Bochen-Hillier code. So it's essentially an extension of the CMFGEN code that was Ursula Escott in John's talk. So we can model this cavity with a set of parameters, opening angle, width of these interacting walls, inclination angle of the observer, and other things. And from that, we can compute observables, spectra, colors, etc., from the UV to the near-infrared, essentially. So that's just a flavor of what we have been doing in Bonn. Here you see the ultraviolet spectra. In black, it's the HST's observations of Eta Carinae. And in blue, you have a 1D model computed with CMFGEN. You see it doesn't fit really well, and that's because essentially what you see here is iron 2 absorption. You have a few resonance lines, but essentially you have iron 2 absorption. And the model is overestimating this absorption, the 1D model. But with the 2D model, including this cavity and this wind interaction, which is in red now, we have a much better fit for this spectrum, for this inclination angle 41 degrees and this longitude of periastrum. So we are able to constrain some of the orbital parameters. And why is that? What you see here is, again, the density in the orbital plane. And I told you what you see in the UV is iron 2 absorption and emission. These lines are formed essentially from 50 to 200 AU from the primary star. In this spherical case, you have something, of course, spherically symmetric. But if you have this cavity, what happens is that the density in this region is going to be lower than the density here. So if you're looking down this cavity, you have a much lower optical depth. And that's why we can fit this spectrum in this case. So that's just a flavor of what we have done. So if you're interested in hearing more, feel free to talk to me. I'll be very happy. So thank you very much.